بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو للمتقين صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we continue the majlis of Hazrat Masihullah Hazrat Mawlana Masih Ummat Rahmatullahi Alayh Jalalabadi and the topic was true friendship and we had mentioned so many incidents of a faithful relationship and the common friendship that we have in today's time where the person is not loyal and sincere to his friend. Unlike the past, like the examples were given of the father who went and visited his friend late part of the night and we saw what type of relationship they had, the strong bond they had. So Hazrat had mentioned the last was a qissa of Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan and the person who posed as his son-in-law. And that was not true, he was a false, or he falsely stated that Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan's son-in-law, just to get a high post. And just to recap, Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan accepted the fact that this person who posed to be his son-in-law, when the British asked for reconfirmation from Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan, he said, yes, this is my son-in-law. And this person received a very high post, and after some time he comes to visit Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan, and then he makes salam. He said, don't you recognize me? He said, I don't know you. Who are you? He said, I'm the person who falsely posed to be your son-in-law. And through you, I got this high status and position. And we find that Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan said, okay, no problem. I've got no daughters left to get married. You are already married. So what we will do is, your wife from today will be my adopted daughter so that you can remain as my son-in-law. Now, this is the type of people we had in the past. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi gives another qissa. He says, this qissa is also worth listening. It's a qissa of Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan and a beggar. It's a hot summer's day. Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan, we mentioned last time that he had was given conferred knighthood on the side of the British. He was a very wealthy person. In inverted commas, whilst he was dunya dar, he was also deendar. 5 times salat, his beard, according to sharia, sunnat. And he had ta'alluq with mashayikh also. So it's a hot summer's day. Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan is lying relaxed on the couch in his room. And there was a friend from Hyderabad also who had come to visit him. And he was also relaxing on another couch nearby. So they say, Hazrat Rahmatullah says, sweet scented grass screens hang on one side. We just picture a servant stands on the other side of the screen and sprinkles water onto them from time to time. It's very hot, it's cooling them. While tugging on the strings of ceiling fans, keeping them in constant motion, causing a cool breeze to pass through this room. And the glass doors to the room are closed in line with the doors. A short distance away is a well. A beggar comes along, stops at the well, and puts down his bundle. Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan observes the arrival of this beggar. Being quick-witted, he sums up the situation and remarks to his friend. He says, just watch. This beggar is going to change his clothes now, and he's going to pose as a durvesh. Durvesh is a Sufi person, pious person, very simple, not well off. So he says he's going to pose as a durvesh and he's going to come to us. But I will not give him a single paisa. I won't give him a single coin. Nothing. Just as Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan had predicted, beggar takes out another set of clothes from his bundle, takes off the garments he's wearing, dresses himself as a durvesh, got a turban, he's wearing kurta. He walks to the door of the room, knocks loudly and confidently. Hazrat Rahmatullah says, such people are not the timid type. Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan, true to his word, ignores the knock. However, such beggars cannot take a hint. The knocking becomes more vigorous, persistent, as if it is a matter of life and death. Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan is flustered. Reluctantly, he orders the servant to open the door and allow this so-called Durveshin. This Durvesh enters, makes salam, calmly seats himself on a vacant couch and starts speaking to Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan. However, Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan, after giving a very cursory reply to the salam, pays him no further attention. So seeing this indifference, the voice of the Durvesh suddenly becomes sharp and high-pitched. Do you not recognize who I am? I am that person who has had the honor of visiting such and such a person. And the person whose name he takes, and Azizi Rahman says, he must have picked it up somewhere. He must have done his homework. It was none other than the peer, the sheikh of Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan. Do not be surprised, Azizi Rahman says, as I mentioned already, Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan is well known as a dunyadar, but he is also deendar. He used to be punctual with 5 times namaz with jamaat, kept the beard strictly according to sharia, he used to recite Quran Sharif regularly, punctual with tahajjud namaz. Admittedly, he held controversial views on some points of aqaid. To continue, the Durvesh is saying, yes, I visited him. These eyes of mine have been blessed by gazing at his great gracious countenance. A change comes over Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan now. Now he's immediately attentive, sits up respectfully. He apologizes, please forgive me. I did not recognize you. He turns to the servant and says, bring me my cash box. The servant brings a small box which he places in front of Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan, who takes from the box a handful of silver coins. He gets up and walks over to the Durvesh and respectfully hands him the money. Huzur, please be kind enough to accept this gift from me. The Durvesh takes the money, after all this was the purpose of his visit, and he departs. Now, watching all this is the friend from Hyderabad. And he comments, what happened? You said you will give him a single paisa, now you will give him a small fortune. He's obviously unaware of the reason for the change in Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan's attitude. Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan asks, did you not hear the name he mentioned? Then says, yes, I heard. Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan explains, well, that happens to be my peer, my sheikh. When he said that he had set eyes on my sheikh, how could I now ignore him? I was duty bound to be respectful and present him something. In any case, I got away cheaply. The friend says, got away cheaply? I saw you giving him quite a big sum. Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan says, I swear that had he said that I should give him the entire box, I would have done so. So I got away cheaply. Hazrat Wala Ramadra concluded his narration by saying, see, these were the qualities to be seen in the dunya dar of those days. Think, do those who are deendar possess such qualities today? Here is now summarized our discussion on hypocrites along the way. Hazrat Ramadan in the beginning had mentioned about nifaq, munafiq, one of the munafiq in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So hypocrisy in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to do with i'tiqad, aqidah, where they projected something else, but inside they were opposite to what they had said. They said they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah is the final Nabi, but this was not true, this was not within themselves. In the heart, they did not believe this. They just acted as though they were Muslims and believers. And then we have hypocrisy nowadays is indeed in actions, in amal. So the person in today's time is a genuine believer, but his actions are similar to the actions of the hypocrites of the past. In other words, as I mentioned, the hadith, Ayatul Munafiqi Thalathun Idha Haddatha Kadaba. When he speaks lies. Wa Idha Wa'ada Akhlafa. He promises, he breaks his promise. Wa Idha Tumina Khana. When he's entrusted with anything, he breaches the trust. So this is in, not in i'tiqad, this is in a'mal. In the action, the person is a munafiq. So just as the i'tiqadi hypocrites presented themselves in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Azizi Rahman says, one will find amali hypocrites in the company of a friend of Allah as well. Then Azizi Rahman explained, praise and censure should be equal. Whether a person praises you or he sways you, to us it should be equal. Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah used to say, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah used to say, do not place any faith in any person's devotion to you. And do not feel offended at any person's censure. somebody swears you, blames you, or says anything against you, it should not affect you. In this age, praise and censure should be equal in your eyes. This was said in an age when there was still some degree of sincerity in people. What type of buzruk is he? What type of person, pious person is he who gets elated when he's praised and he feels now he's somebody? And when he's censured, he's offended. He stops speaking with the person who has criticized him. What type of pious person is he? What type of buzruk is he? What type of tahajjud guzar is he? When he's praised, he becomes conceited. And when he is censured, he nurtures hatred and malice in his heart. In this day and age, a person will praise you to the skies as long as he can make use of you. In this day and age, a person will praise you to the skies as long as he can make use of you. The day he finds he cannot manipulate you, he starts castigating you, speaking ill of you. Now tell me, what value would you set on such praise or such criticism? Then Hazrat Rahmatullah gives this incident as he was explaining that in those days, or the thought that people will not speak ill of one is a delusion. Everybody goes through some difficult times where people will criticize them. It's not possible that nobody will criticize you. Dear brother, if people spoke ill of a Nabi of Allah, why would people not speak ill of a Wali of Allah? And if there is nobody speaking ill of that person, then there may be some doubts of him being a Wali. It's impossible that a Nabi should have people speaking ill of him, but a Wali should not have none to speak ill of him. So if a Nabi is not left out and people speak ill of him, then a Wali of Allah, people also speak ill of him. There's a story of a slave girl and Baqi Billah. Hazrat Wala Ramadan narrated a qissa. So Azaji, as we mentioned the other day, would mention different qissas. Why? To make us understand a point in tasawwuf. It's not just fancy terminology and difficult things to comprehend. Our mashayikh brought things to our level and they gave us things that we can relate to understand a concept, a very deep concept in tasawwuf and tazkiyah. And the main maqsad is not to learn this terminology and to read about these things, but to bring this into our lives. This incident occurred in the age when female slaves, strictly according to Sharia, still existed. A person owning a female slave had fallen into hard times. So he told this slave girl of his, "You see my condition, I've been reduced to poverty, there's hardly anything to eat. I do not see why you should suffer with me, I've decided rather to sell you." She said, "Whatever makes you happy, I don't have any complaints. However, I do have just one request to make." So he says, "What is it?" So she says, "If you decide to sell me to anybody except Baqi Billah." Now Baqi Billah was a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, "Don't sell me to him." Who was Baqi Billah rahmatullah? He was a very great buzruk, a wali of great fame. The sheikh of none other than the famous Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullah. Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullah was a great alim and sheikh of Sarhind, in the Naqshbandi silsila. So Baqi Billah resided in Delhi, where he also lies buried. So the owner was surprised at this request of the slave girl. Why ever not? So she explained, she said, "I have had occasion to go into Delhi for some work, on a number of occasions, wherever I have gone, I have heard nothing but praise and praise for Baqi Billah. Nowhere have I heard anybody saying anything bad about him. I therefore have my doubts as to him being a real wali of Allah." Imagine the slaves also. They wanted to be in the company of a genuine wali of Allah. And because nobody spoke ill of him, she has some doubt in him being a wali of Allah. That people should speak ill of a Nabi, but not of a wali, is completely unheard of. What kind of wali is that? Her owner said, "Baqi Billah is the very person I'm going to sell you. But to please you, I will request 3 days' grace." And this is when a person does a transaction, and he gets a grace of taking back the thing that he had sold. And there's a detailed masail regarding this. He has a khiyar and the option of taking back within 3 days. So he says, "I will request 3 days' grace. I will sell you, during which I will have the option of taking you back. Remain with him for 3 days and see for yourself what type of person he is. I will tell him that I reserve the right to take you back within 3 days. If I do not, You will remain with him. 3 days grace is a transaction called Bay Khiyari Sharts in Sharia. The arrangement satisfied, this slave girl, the owner subsequently sold her to Baqi Billah Rahmatul Ali with a 3 days option. And he left her at his house. Came time for meals. Baqi Billah told the newly acquired slave girl, Allah ki bandi, it is time for meals. Go and fetch a light for the fire. It was before the age of matches. Fires were lighted from burning embers obtained from the neighborhood. So she went to the next door neighbor, requested a light from the lady of the house. The neighbor told her to go ahead and help herself. And the slave girl took some burning embers from the fire. As she was leaving, the neighbor asked, for whom are you taking this light, by the way? So she said, for Baqi Billah. That was enough. The name of Baqi Billah was enough to set off a torrent of anger from the neighbor. Swearing and cursing Baqi Billah, the woman forced the slave girl to return the burning embers and chased her out. So this slave girl returned very upset, empty-handed. Baqi Billah asked, did you not bring any light for the fire? So she mumbled something, no, give me a full explanation, Baqi Billah insisted. So she says, she then explained how she had gone to the neighbor, got permission to take some embers. And when she was asked by the neighbor for who it was, so she said it was for Baqi Billah. And the neighbor started swearing and cursing and finally chased out empty-handed. Oh, Baqi Billah remarked when she had finished, never mind daily, but we have people just over the wall calling us an evil name. This slave girl understood immediately that people were talking ill of him. She had been given the answer to the doubts she had whether he was a wali or not. Before 3 days had passed, previous owner arrived to find out whether she wished to stay or not. So she said, I wish to stay. I have discovered that he is a real wali of Allah. I have found that he has a neighbor who speaks ill of him. So this slave girl in this qissa is underlying the point made that if a Nabi has people talking ill of him, then a wali, one who walks in the footsteps of a Nabi, will surely have people talking ill of him as well. It is essential that one's gaze should be neither on praise nor on censure. People talk ill of the person or praise means immaterial to him. One should have a clear mind, a mind free of all expectation from others. A wali will not get swollen headed with praise and is not offended by people criticizing him. Why? The reason is that the gaze of a wali of Allah has shifted from makhluq and is focused only on khaliq. That is the creator. If an individual has not reached this stage, he will get conceited with praise and he will take offense at any criticism. This is a clear indication that his gaze is focused only on the makhluq and not on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat explains, and people who are close to you, then you'll find them criticizing you, finding faults in you. And people who are very close to you, they won't be praising you in a hurry. Sometimes family members, relatives, and those who are close to you, you might not find any words of praise from them. And then he goes on to explain about praise from wives. Among those related and close to one, that person who is closest in the highest degree of intimacy is one's wife. On the basis of what has been said, how can one be desirous of praise from her? And how can one expect to escape any criticism from her? So in accordance with the rule that one should neither anticipate any praise from those close to one, nor expect to escape from their censure, this rule will be applicable to the highest degree when it comes to the wife. She is most unpredictable. A parent or a child, both of whom are closely related, will draw a line in their attitude and behavior. But a wife draws no lines. She has no regard for any etiquette. Therefore, no matter what her attitude, no matter what words she utters, no matter what unbecoming language she uses, do not take offense. On the other hand, if she praises you to the skies, it is nothing to get excited over. Hazrat Ji gave the story of Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullahi Ali and his wife. We heard the story before, but we just mentioned it again, inshallah. Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah mentioned an episode concerning Abul Hasan Nuri. His original name was just Abul Hasan. Nuri was added on afterwards. Very often people become known by a name connected with some very special feature in their lives. So, Abu Hassan, rahmatullahi alayhi, it was noticed regarding him, when he used to speak, the nur used to emanate from his mouth. And therefore, he's known as Abu Hassan, and Nuri, rahmatullahi alayhi. Azadji had digressed and he went on to some other aspects. We're just going to mention the story before we forget. The story is that Abu Hassan Nuri Rahmatullahi, this qissa we are about to relate about Abu Hassan Nuri Rahmatullahi also involves Bu Ali Sina, a physician of great repute. Bu Ali Sina, famous person. Bu Ali Sina felt he should meet this famous buzruk of his time. That is Abu Hassan Nuri Rahmatullahi. He thus undertook a journey to Abu Hassan Nuri Rahmatullahi's town and arrived at his residence. He knocked on the door and the wife answered the knock. Who is it? She asked. Bu Ali Sina introduced himself. What is it that you want? She asked. So very respectfully he said, I have come to visit Hazrat Sheikh Abu Hassan Nuri. That was the last thing he should have said. The wife immediately started. And she heard, call him Hazrat. So, immediately started against her own husband. And she began lashing out at him, using the most harshest of terms. And the mildest quotable name she called him were, he's a crook, he's a thief, and a robber. Bu Ali Sina Rahmatullahi was quite bewildered, disappointed, regretful. He told himself, it seems, he is not what I thought him to be. I made a mistake in traveling all this way. Apologizes to her, takes leave. Then he thinks to himself, seeing I'm here, I came so far, I might as well just meet him. So he inquired from some people about Abu Hassan Nuri Rahmatullah's whereabouts. They explained, normally he went into the woods to collect firewood, which he would sell in the bazaar. This is the manner in which he earned his livelihood. Bu'ali Sina proceeded to the woods. After walking quite a distance, he noticed a saintly looking person coming towards him. What is amazing was that a lion was walking alongside him. For us, something that we can't imagine. Moreover, the lion was carrying a bundle of firewood. He realized immediately that this person walking, and lion next to him carrying the bundle of firewood, this is a saintly person and he must be Abu Hassan Nuri Rahmatullahi. Bu Ali Sina slowed down his pace, then stopped completely out of fear of this lion. Salams were exchanged from a distance. Abu Hassan Nuri Ramadan said, Bu Ali, are you afraid of the lion? This lion does not harm humans. You need not be afraid. Bu Ali Sina was somewhat reassured and he approached nearer. Hazrat, he spoke and he said, I have gone initially to your house to visit you. Your wife answered my knock. She inquired what I wanted. I merely replied, I'd come to visit Hazrat. But she started saying such horrible and disrespectful things about you. It was most embarrassing to stand and listen. Abu Hassan Nuri Rahmatullahi offered an apology. Bu Ali Sina continued, but it's a strange thing that puzzles me. Abu Hassan Nuri Rahmatullahi asked, what is it? Bu Ali Sina said, what I cannot understand is that your wife has the upper hand over you, yet you have an upper hand over this fierce lion. So Abu Hassan Nuri Rahman said, Are Mia. He said, Are Mia, it is because we carry the burden of her attitude that this lion bears our burden. He made sabr on all her loose tongue, harsh words. She used to criticize him and call him the worst names, but he exercised sabr. On account of this sabr that he made, Allah Ta'ala gave him this maqam. That a lion is walking next to him making his khidmat. Hazrat Jeez Rahmatullah said, are you listening? Praise and censure. The wife called him horrible names. There's absolutely no acknowledgement of his saintly status from her. Only the heart of a wali can bear such criticism. A mu'min wali, a wali in whom the demands of iman has caused him to leave off all sin and caused him to adopt taqwa and humility. A wali whose tongue and heart engage in constant dhikr. Dhikr bil lisan, dhikr with the qalb also. Dhikr with the tongue, dhikr with the heart. So that his gaze is only on Allah, the Creator, and not on the makhluk. Only such a wali will have the capacity for such wisdom. So in summary, Azizji Ramadhan mentions a number of topics have been discussed today. It was one majlis we mentioned this entire discourse. He says, we have seen how the i'tiqadi hypocrites, those who are genuine munafiq, were given due consideration in those days. Remember, we mentioned Rasulullah did not expose them. Because if he had to take revenge and punish them, then people would have said, then what kind of person this person Muhammad is? He is killing his own people. So Rasulullah tolerated this. And I mentioned so many incidents where the Rasul Munafiqeen, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he was a well-known munafiq. Everybody knew he was a munafiq. But even when he passed away, Rasulullah sallam led his janaza salah. And at that time, when he passed away, he required some kafan. So his son was a pakka sahabi believer. And he knew also his father was a munafiq. And he comes to Rasulullah sallam, please give me some kafan for my father. And Nabi sallam gives him kafan also. Why? Because he had given, or he assisted Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, the uncle of Rasulullah once. So in lieu of that, Nabi Karim gives him his own sheet and garment as a kafan for who? The leader of the munafiqeen. So look at the heart that Nabi had. Hazrat Rahmatullah Manana used to always mention having a large heart. So this was the type of large heart he had, that even the munafiq of his time, Rasulullah did not, or Rasulullah even accommodated such munafiqeen, such hypocrites. So we have seen how the i'tiqadi hypocrites were given due consideration in those days, and how the amali hypocrites are also given due consideration today. Incidents showing Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the Dunyadar, Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan's attitudes to imposters have been related. Both showed exceptional qualities of loyalty and faithfulness. This was the whole topic. Loyalty and faithfulness. True friendship. What is true friendship? Not when the person Dastar Khan is full and everybody sits around him and everybody enjoying this person's money and his properties and all his treasures. And the moment he becomes insolvent, nobody wants to even make salam to him. This is how we have become. So good qualities are not produced merely by the recitation of tasbihs, but flow from one who is a true wali. An item is recognized by the effects it produces. The Shaykh is constantly assessing how much and to what extent these effects manifest in the murid. The Shaykh does not look only at his namaz. Yes, in this time of our decline, these are days of our downward slide, the Shaykh may content himself if some reach only a stage of performing namaz punctually and correctly. However, when a Shaykh notices that the murid is striving hard in suluk, the Shaykh's attitude and treatment is accordingly different. The rare sight of a murid making full effort during these days of degeneration gladdens the heart. Obviously, such a murid will be handled differently from one not so inclined. So praise and censure have been discussed in detail. Both should be equal in one's eyes. There should be no desire for praise, and censure should produce no ill feelings. So wali is not perturbed by either. A sufficient number of incidents have been related in this regard, and we had given the story of Abu Hassan Nuri Rahmatullahi Ali and his wife. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true tawfiq of making amal, understanding these very important points. Somewhere along the line, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah mentioned that we might think this is not tasawuf, whereas this is tasawuf. He says, you may be wondering, what all these things has to do with Islah? Be assured that these are matters very important in one's Islah. An important principle in Islah is that one's mind should be free from unnecessary disputes and worries. Now if people are going to keep on criticizing you, your mind is now going to be focused on those things. And therefore, we need to rid our minds from all those type of issues and put our gaze only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give me tawfiq and all of us tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. We settle be a short majlis. half an hour exactly. People are working, especially this time, December is difficult. Times also, Isha is late. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, whatever little we have heard, to bring this into amal. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah.